You're listening to Central Time. I'm Judith Sears Poisson.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up in this week's Wisconsin News Roundup, we look at why the Government Accountability Board spent no money on outside investigations in the past 2 years.
First, the average American throws away $30 a month in the form of food waste. Food waste is often due to things like food going bad before you can eat it, letting leftovers go uneaten, or cooking only parts of the food you buy.
In 2012, Dana Gunders from the Natural Resources Defense Council, outlined the problem in a report called Wasted, How America is Losing Up to 40% of Its Food from Farm to Fork to Landfill. She also wrote a cookbook called The Waste-Free Kitchen Handbook.
For this week's Food Friday, we gave regular guest Lori Skelton the challenge of reducing food waste in her kitchen, using that cookbook as a guide. Lori joins us now to talk about her food waste reduction adventures over the last several weeks.
And it is a reduction adventure. I will be honest right up front. I don't yet have a waste-free kitchen. This takes work. So after what usually gets me into trouble, great intentions, and then I never follow through with what's in the refrigerator, my great intentions are a little bit at a time and see if I can really reduce to the best of my ability, although I don't know if I'm ever going to get a waste-free kitchen. This does require a lot of planning.
Well, I'm guessing also that it's very individual, depending on the person, what ends up getting wasted in their kitchen. So what did you find?
Well, my big problem, of course, is that most of the time I'm cooking for myself. And one of the reasons I wanted to focus on this now is we're getting into high season with the farmers market, and I know I have problems sometimes where my, again, grand intentions are bigger than my time budget, let alone my food budget. And right now, for instance, there's one farmer that has a particular type of Italian green that I absolutely adore, and it's only here for a couple of weeks. So I know it's there, and yes, I want to buy lots of it and use lots of it and get it in the freezer, and am I going to do it? Well, that is where the planning involves. All right, that's my problem. Solo diner. And of course, with kids, what happens if you've got a picky eater? You make, maybe you planned a great meal and you were going to eat a little bit of this on Monday and a little bit of this on Tuesday. And what if on Tuesday your kid says, well, I don't want that tonight for dinner?
I have a little experience in that department.
I think Veronica might be able to feel that way.
So there are so many challenges with reducing food waste in the kitchen. I'm really looking forward to hearing what the audience has to say, how they go about reducing food waste. It's a little bit at a time, and there are some great tips in. It's called the Waste-Free Kitchen Handbook. There are some recipes in there, but a lot of this is simply reminders that sell-by dates or best-by dates are not necessarily hard and fast rules. Yes, it is possible to still use soured milk. If it's been pasteurized, it's not going to kill you. It's reminders like that.
Not in cereal, though. What would you do with it?
Biscuits.
I'm particular about milk.
Biscuits. Oh, pancakes. Yeah. Waffles, which, of course, if you make a bunch of waffles, those can be frozen. One thing that Dana Gunders is really big on is freezing things. Whether it's you've bought something in bulk and you need to break it down for future use, or you've got leftovers that you can't use right away. That said, you do have to be careful with freezing leftovers. You can't just throw them into a plastic bag and throw them in the freezer. They have to be properly cooled, properly stored. If you're freezing something like fresh fruit, say somebody at the farmer's market has got a really great deal on fresh berries, those do need to be prepared and properly frozen. Otherwise, it's just going to end up back in the garbage because they're inedible 6 months later.
So how would you prepare, say, a bunch of fresh strawberries? Because that's one thing. I love strawberries, and sometimes I've gone out picking and come home with a gigantic cartons, and if I'm lucky, I'll turn some into freezer jam and some into compote, and some I'll just eat, but then there's still some left over. But they're very delicate.
So what
would I do?
First of all, with fresh berries at this time of the year, something that I discovered years ago that really, really works is the minute you get them home, and here again, it involves some planning, because you have to have a little bit of time the minute you get home. You clean out your sink, put in 10 parts water to 1 part basic white vinegar. Nothing fancy. 10 parts water to 1 part vinegar, and soak your berries, your strawberries, your raspberries especially, your blueberries, 10 to 15 minutes, and then rinse them off. That will help retard mold, so you've got some extra time to work with it. Then if after you've had your jam and your shortcake and you've still got berries left and you are going to freeze them, you are going to want to freeze them either put them on a tray so that you've got individual berries, and then put them in a bag and freeze them. So you'll want them frozen before you freeze them, if you will. Hmm. Or you get a container and submerge the berries in sugar syrup. That's that's something I didn't know before I read this.
What does that do?
Sugar is one of the reasons we talk about canning and preserving with sugar, jams or whatever. Sugar is a preservative. It helps retard some of the bacteria, the mold, the things that can grow on our food. So if you have a chance to make a sugar syrup, you get a container, submerge your fruit in that syrup, freeze them that way, and that will help keep them in the freezer a lot longer.
Well, Lori said earlier that she's eager to hear from listeners about how they use or either avoid food waste or use things that might end up as food waste. We want to hear from you, too. What do you do to cut down on food waste in your kitchen? How do you make sure that you or your family eats all of those delicious leftovers? What kinds of recipes do you use to get rid of leftovers? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And we'll take a caller now. We have Lynn on the line in Paloma. Lynn, hi.
Hi. I just always look at my calendar, and I look at what is going on during the week. And if we're not going to be home or we're doing something else with family or friends, you mark that off. And then I just use America's Test Kitchen when I want to experiment, when I have time and I have can make great recipes. I use the recipes for two, and I just don't buy anything that's not on my recipe list. I really resist going for things that are not there. I'm cognizant of what is in season and what I would love to use, but I really, if it doesn't fit in, I don't buy it.
Lynn, you sound like you're very disciplined. I admire that. No impulse buys.
Right. Smarter shopping is top of the list for Dana Gunders. Have a list and stick to it. And I admit, I sometimes buy with my heart rather than my stomach and my calendar. If you can stick with a calendar, that is incredible.
It really does make a difference if it's a week where you've got stuff every evening and at best you're going to be grabbing something as quickly as you can, or if you have time to really cook it out all
yeah.
weekend.
Yeah, when my boyfriend is here on the weekends and we're saying goodbye to one another on Monday morning, that's usually what we do. Is like, okay, are you going to be home this weekend? Do you want to take the leftovers or do I? Because it does come down to which one of us is going to use them.
Right. That's smart. And so, Lori, you have been cooking and you've been trying to reduce at home, but you did bring in one of your experimental recipes this time to get rid of some black beans, I think it was.
Right. I admit, this was not a time when I was bringing in a great deal of food because this was really focused on my own kitchen.
We're glad you didn't make extra waste just to make food waste cookies.
One of the things that came out of this that I've gotten very, very fond of is leftovers for breakfast, where if there's, you know, just a little bit of a few things, mm-hmm. not really enough to make a meal, you get up in the morning, you throw those in the pan with some leftover grains, maybe a little broth, and when everything's cooked and you know it's safe to eat, you crack an egg on top, let the egg get just a little bit runny. So I didn't have a lot to bring in. Black beans. I love making beans. Yes, we should be eating more beans. Make a big pot on Sunday and use them throughout the week. Well, I will admit, there are some times when Thursday rolls around and I say to myself, if I see one more bean, I'm going to lose it.
And it's easy to make too many, too, I think, because they swell up.
Yes, they do. And so I was really surprised to see a recipe for black bean brownies. These are gluten-free, and if you use olive oil or coconut oil instead of butter. These can be vegan as well. And it couldn't be easier. You throw your beans and some quick cooking oats and cocoa powder, brown sugar, maple syrup, oil, vanilla extract, baking powder, and chocolate chips in your food processor or blender. Blitz, put in prepared pan, bake for half an hour. I don't know if I'd call them brownies. I like a brownie to have a very dense, wonderful texture.
There's a very specific texture you think of.
And so everybody who tried these said they're delicious, but I don't know if they're a brownie. The texture for these is a lot lighter, but nobody could taste bean.
That's great.
Nobody. I said there's a secret vegetable, and everybody thought beets?
Yeah,
beets. Nope. Beans. And they were one thing I would love to try. I didn't have a chance to this week. Since I know it works for black beans as a brownie, I wonder if leftover pinto beans mixed with butterscotch chips could make a kind of oatmeal scotchy.
Oh, wow.
So if I will let you know if it works.
We hope you have some leftover pinto beans.
Well, we're talking right now to Food Friday regular Lori Skelton, talking about some tasty ways to cut down on food waste in your kitchen.
And we're taking your calls, too, at 800-642-1234. How do you cut down on waste in your kitchen? Maybe how do you avoid waste in your kitchen? What do you always end up throwing out? And how do you make sure your family eats up all of those leftovers? What kinds of things do you do in your kitchen that we should try to make sure we're not throwing out food? Call in and share your tips now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll pick up our conversation with Lori in just a bit. You're listening to Central Time.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up in our weekly Wisconsin News Roundup, we look at how a change in Medicaid might help to close the health gap that Native Americans in Wisconsin face.
Right now, we're continuing our conversation with Food Friday regular Lori Skelton about cutting down on food waste in your kitchen.
Well, we want to know what tips you have for cutting down on food waste. What recipes do you have to use up all the odds and ends in the refrigerator? What recipes do you go to then? And how do you make sure that all those leftovers actually get eaten? Call right now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And let's go back to the phones, and Anna in Elkhorn is up. Hi, Anna.
Hi. What I actually do is I take all of my vegetables that are getting rubbery, you know, carrots, celery, anything like that, puree them in the blender, and then add them to spaghetti sauce, like tomato sauce, that then gets frozen, and I use that later in lasagna, spaghetti, whatever, because you can't really eat them raw when they're rubbery, but once they're cooked, I mean, nobody, my family would actually be very surprised at the amount of vegetables that are in my coffee.
Well, hopefully they're not listening right now and your secret will be safe. Lori was nodding as you were saying that. Anna, is that something that came up in the waste-free kitchen?
Absolutely. The idea that wilted is not going to make you sick. A lot of times you can revive a wilted vegetable with 10 minutes in an ice water bath. If maybe it isn't perfect for your crudité plate, it could still be put in a salad. And if it can't be revived that way, then yes, any vegetable pasta sauce is a brilliant way to use this up.
We make a lot of stir fries, and I'll put, I mean, stir fry is a huge umbrella that pretty much anything will fall under.
Yeah.
So, and it's okay if, like celery, for instance, if I'm going to eat it raw, I want it to be really nice and crisp. But once you cut it up and saute it in a stir fry, it's fine, even if it started out a little on the weak side.
We're the same way with quiche. That's our vegetable there repository there. You can just put whatever it is in there, and there you go.
One thing that I've gotten to really enjoy is making kimchi and sort of have this, anything that can wilt is a great starter for kimchi. Hmm. And I'm also finding it's a great way to use up the parts of a plant that you don't normally use. I've had ramp kimchi on my own table, and I just had it out at a restaurant the other night, where you use the leaves. And you start off by wilting down the things that can be wilted, whether it's leaves or celery tops or leftover lettuce. It generally works out about a half a tablespoon of salt to every pound of vegetables. And you'll start off with the softer stuff on your kitchen counter, and then you can be adding things like carrots or peppers or onions. You can get really, really creative with what you turn into kimchi. And if you're not quite thrilled with the way that it's tasting at the end of it, what will always save it is a squirt or two of sriracha.
Lori's a big sriracha fan. Yes. So those that don't know, kimchi is a Korean
fermented cabbage
with some pepper in there.
It's fermented cabbage at its base, mm-hmm. but I'm finding that you can start playing with fermenting foods on your counter, and it can get really, really fun. The dish I had the other night, it was ramp kimchi, so there's mm-hmm. Korean with Wisconsin, served with crawfish on top of polenta.
Ooh.
So Southern America, Wisconsin, Italy, and Korea all in one plate, and oh, it was delicious.
That sounds really good.
You are mixing it up.
Let's go back to the phones, and Don in Eau Claire is up. Hi, Don.
Hello. I have a comment and a question. My comment is that I was a depression kid and grew up eating everything and never throwing anything away, and so anyway, this is natural, but all peelings, like if you add vegetable peels, carrot peels, celery trimmings, cauliflower or cabbage trimmings, everything was put in a pot, covered with water, cooked for an hour or more, and then strained, and the liquid was used as a vegetable stock for making soups.
And, of course, one of the things that we don't always think about, but if you have got scraps that you are planning to use for stock, throw them in the freezer. Throw your bones in the freezer. And then when you've got enough to make a huge pot of stock, just devote some time on a weekend to doing that, and then you've got loads of lovely, lovely stock to use. But that's a perfect example of throw it in the freezer for when you have the time. Save your bones, save the scraps, and you can have amazing stuff come out of your kitchen.
Lori, are you one of those people who has an extra freezer for stuff like this?
I don't, but I will admit, after reading this book, I'm starting to think about getting one.
I am too. I've been thinking about it for a while, and this would be another reason.
I grew up, we had two chest freezers in our house, one just for fruits and vegetables, and I'm now starting to think it may not be a bad idea to invest in one, because right now my freezer is at capacity.
Mine too. All right, let's take another caller now. We've got John on the line in Milwaukee. Hi there.
Hi.
Hi, what did you want to share?
I have a recipe for banana bread.
Ooh, banana bread. So some old bananas you're taking care of. What do you like about the recipe?
Well, it doesn't waste old bananas that are all mushy and stuff.
Right. So you're using those bananas, and they get mushy pretty quickly. So banana bread is the old standby, and that's one way to go for sure.
And with bananas, you don't even need sugar syrup if you're going to put those in the freezer. Freezing bananas for later is a really great way to use up bananas that are about to go stale on you. Although, don't forget, if it's brown, bananas, apples, potatoes, avocados, if it's brown, it's not a problem. It's not going to kill you. You cut out the bruise or the soft parts and then just eat the rest of it.
Any other ideas for bananas, or I guess avocados or some of those other things besides, well, in this case, banana bread, because I think that's a standby. Everybody loves banana bread, but if you got tired of that, what else could you do, Lori?
Bananas, we never think about this, but anything that you can put into a smoothie will, this time of year, you get, even if it's just Dixie cups and sticks, you make popsicles. And we think about pureeing the berries for those, but we don't think about throwing in bananas. And bananas in a popsicle can be an awful lot of fun.
Oh, and they're so naturally sweet, too.
There you go.
Let's talk, Lori, about were there any things that you could see yourself having as extra in the kitchen that you just couldn't think of what you would do with them?
Again, it's not so much I don't have a strategy to deal with it. It's that I do sometimes think I have more time than I do. One thing I really have to guard against is just not being as organized in the kitchen as I would like to be. I'm almost to the point of getting the chalkboard paint to paint on my cupboards so I can write on my cupboards what I've got in stock, because I'm notorious for thinking, oh, shoot, I need to pick up such and such, and then I get home, open the refrigerator, oh, there's half a can of it still waiting for me to use. So it's not so much that I haven't found the right way to use an ingredient, is that I need to be more organized in my kitchen.
And does the Waste Free Kitchen Handbook have some ideas for organization?
It's got great ideas. And guess what? There's an app for that.
Who would have guessed?
From the USDA, as a matter of fact. It's called Food Keeper, and it's how you can keep track of, is it still good? Has it spoiled? A range of things, and it gives you strategies for keeping better track of what's in your kitchen.
Sounds like a good plan. And Lori, do you think you're going to change going forward? You've made this Herculean effort and you discovered it was pretty hard. So for the rest of us out there who haven't even done what you've done so far, what do you suggest to get going?
This would be a really great project to take on with friends. And even if that means, oh my gosh, the street has a potluck once a month where everybody brings their leftovers. Don't try and do this alone. Ask for suggestions and have some fun with it.
Well, Lori, thanks so much for joining us today.
Absolutely.
That was Lori Skelton, one of WPR's most passionate cooks and a Food Friday regular. She joined us to talk about tips to cut down on food waste in the kitchen. You can find her recipe for sneaky black bean brownies on the Central Time Facebook page. Just search Central Time on WPR on Facebook.
And you can let us know what you do with all your food leftovers, your tips and techniques. We'll take them on Facebook. Mm-hmm.